Alright.
Oh, wow. So I was right, I guess. Technically, yeah. Between 20 and 25.
Alright. Welcome to episode 25 of the Film Yarns Pod, Jack and Charles. This week we saw Primer, 2004 American sci-fi film about the accidental discovery of time travel. The film was written, directed, produced, edited, and scored by Shane Carruth, who also stars with David Sullivan. Primer is of note for its extremely low-budget, experimental plot structure, philosophical implications, and complex technical dialogue, which Carruth, a college graduate with a degree in mathematics and a former engineer, chose not to simplify for the sake of the audience. The film collected the Grand Jury Prize at the 2004 Sundance Film Festival before securing a limited release in the US and has since gained a cult following. Agree, I guess.
I think that's pretty good introduction. I think it's true as well, right? Like, because this probably deserves a cult following. This is like a good artistic interpretation of some pretty complex physics.
Yeah, I mean, this is the second time I've seen it, and but I do remember kind of just watching it on a whim the first time. I was like, oh, this looks interesting. I like these types, like the low budget type that just really nails it, kind of like it. You know, they don't try to do too much Hollywood sort of stuff because it's, you know, they're not going to be able to do crazy CGI, and so like the ways that they have to improvise to kind of make it as entertaining as a big budget film are often like the things that come out to make it as good as it is. So they have to, you know, they have to like rely on more traditional film techniques to make a good film, like, you know, shots and lighting and color and dialogue and the plot. Like the core elements have to be there because they can't back it up with, like, you know, CGI and action. And so it comes away.
Just shine.
Yeah. Yeah. They call it, like, certainly a sandbox film or whatever.
Yeah. I think this is thoroughly, like, I think this sort of film can only ever be an independent film. Because this is like someone's like work, you know what I mean? Not to say that like a Hollywood film isn't work, but this is like someone's project for themselves. Like, was his name Shane Carruth?
Yeah.
It seems like he was like, all right, we're gonna do this. We're gonna keep it like this. We're gonna keep it because I think it necessarily needs sort of a small budget. I'm sure maybe with more money they could do more things, but better. I don't know. You know, like, I think it necessarily needs to sort of have this like backyard garage feel.
Yeah. What's the film that it's reminding me of where they're at a dinner party and they like go down the street and they get like duplicated and stuff?
It's not called like Eclipse or something, is it? It's, yeah, because it's like a,
it reminds me a lot of that.
I remember that.
Where it's just based around, like, you know, it's low budget again, and like, but they do well with like making it creepy. What is that movie? That's really good.
It's like, it's all inside someone's lounge, and some sort of like anomaly occurs, and then there's two sets of each person.
Yeah,
they're trying to figure out who it is. Yeah, it's, I think a lot of these sorts of films sort of herald, like, at least that film comes from like The Thing a bit, like John Carpenter's The Thing.
Oh yeah, because they refer to like the unknown. Not being able to know
who's the person.
It's like the unknown thing is more scary than the like monster you can see.
You look exactly the same. Well, even like the scariest thing might be the person that looks exactly like the person you know isn't the person you know, like,
yeah, like, is it Blue Team? Yeah, it's the same technique, I guess, in Primer, where it's like, which one is the original? Are you from the same timeline? And like, I didn't even realize like half of that was going on until halfway through. You know, I didn't even think like, oh, the plot actually might be way more complex than what's kind of, because the characters aren't honest with each other in front of you, or and you don't really see them on their own, like talking to anyone, like confiding in someone else to like explain the plot more.
Yeah, there's only at the end when you hear the guy with the headphone on, when you start to, like, when you hear the conversations, and it's just his voice talking about like what's going to happen.
Yeah.
And so you think like, oh, there's something else. There's like another person in this as well. And it turns out like there was a third or something. Like, because the two guys have like totally different desires for the machine, right? Like, one just wants to kind of like, I don't know, play the stock market a little bit and stop someone from getting shot or whatever at a party, and the other guy's like, we can get rich as fuck. Like,
Yeah, I like how that's the main goal straight off the bat. It's just, well, like, because they're, you know, they're at the conference table with the other two at the start, and they're just like, okay, how are we going to make a fuck ton of money? They're not even really like looking to invent anything that good. They're just like, how many patents have we got in the last year? Like, why have we not made any money? And it's just like, all right, let's just fucking dominate the stock market with the time machine. That'll do. They don't really care that much. Like, they don't care about the kind of scientific breakthrough aspects much at all. You know, like the movie could have, like, you know, a film of this sort of style, it could have taken a different plot where it's like they're trying to keep the invention secret, or they're trying to, like, you know, stop someone from stealing their design so they can make the money. But they decide to just make the money by just, like, keeping the invention secret. Like, I guess, you know, long-term plan is forever or for their lives. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
One of the guys, the... I know it's Adam and Abe or whatever.
Yeah, that's it.
One of them is like totally like, I'm going to destroy this. I'm going to keep going back in time to try and stop this being made. And the other guy like goes off and I assume tries to make like replicate in a factory or something, because at the end he's in a factory making something. I think he was talking about doing that.
Here's like, there's a explain like I'm five Reddit for the plot. I'll just read it out because it's actually it helped the cogs click into place quite well for me. So the guy says, I'm going to try and simplify this way, way down so a lot of stuff is missing. Two guys, Abe and Aaron, build a machine that does some weird science stuff. Abe is able to deduce that they've built a time travel box. He builds a larger scale box that can fit people and tests this theory over a couple of days. He then shows it to Aaron, who agrees time travel exists. They decide to keep it secret between themselves. In their version of time travel, they can only go back as far as when the time travel machine was turned on. This is a huge point. If they turn it on at 10 a.m. on the 1st of January 2013, they can only travel back that far, and they have to wait however long the machine was running. Thus, if they turn the machine on at 8 a.m. and climb into the box at 8 p.m. to start their journey back, they have to wait 12 hours inside the box to travel back to 8 a.m. The time travel portion of the movie takes place over a couple of days. In those days, we see the guys doing their routine, start machine, go to hotel, look up stocks, turn off machine, travel back in time, make money in stocks, repeat. Then things go bad. The party incident, we're not told exactly what happened, but someone ends up in jail or something because of a shooting. And Granger, an investor, finds the box, uses it, gets out too early and becomes sick, ends up in a coma, possibly permanently. Things in general are not going well. Abe decides to end this. We learn that Abe created a fail-safe time machine box before telling Aaron about the time machine. This would allow him to travel back before everything we saw in the movie and prevent all the bad things from happening. Sort of like a save point in a video game before you go on a murderous rampage, which enables Abe to reset the timeline. Then we learn that Aaron knew about Abe's fail-safe box, used it to bring back his own machine to create a master failsafe, and created a false failsafe point for Abe's box. Thus, Aaron's save point is farther back than Abe's. So while Abe thinks he's resetting everything, Aaron is able to prevent that reset, presumably to keep using the time travel box. We also learn that the Aaron we've been watching with the earpiece in is actually the Aaron from the future, and he's using his iPod and recorded conversations to know exactly what everyone is going to do. This allows him to steer/control the actions of other people. The movie ends with Aaron building a huge room-sized box, presumably to be able to time travel for weeks or months at a time.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting because... Abe, although like he's like, yeah, I'm gonna stay here and keep going around and around and around, isn't he just sort of trapped in that cycle then? If he's constantly trying to go back in time to before the box was made, but there's a greater failsafe that hasn't been destroyed, is that he's just gonna constantly be doing that?
I don't know.
You know?
I actually don't know. It's still confusing having read that.
Yeah, I think that, like, yeah, it is confusing. I guess, like, what I thought was that, like, once you make the box, they're constantly stuck in the same loop, pretty much. Like, they can keep showing, like, their doubles or whatever, the people from the future, they can continue to live their lives, right? Like, but the initial people who made the box will always be trapped to some degree. And I think I think that's why that they start to show like weird side effects, like ear bleeding, and they can't write or anything.
Yeah.
They lose those weird cognitive abilities.
Yeah, yeah. I like that kind of eerie part of the plot.
Compelling for you.
Now, they do that well, and it's just like, oh, I'm going to show you something, and like, you know, I'm not pulling a prank on you. Like when he shows him his duplicate the first time, like that scene was really cool because it's just like, it had a lot of realism to it. Like if I was showing you a duplicate of yourself, you know, you'd probably think that it's a prank. Like it's just such an odd thing to, you know, you're watching in a movie, it's not as weird, but like they do it well to add realism to that and like try to kind of put you in the perspective of having that experience, because it just would be like, what the fuck's going on? Even if you kind of had inclinations that you had built some sort of time machine box.
Yeah. And I mean, even the older man, the one that kind of funds them, I guess that he was subject to like rapid aging because he came out of the box too early or something, because like he looks pretty, he looks all like, he got like mad beard and shit and just kind of dies.
Yeah, I think so.
Because they sort of talk about the need to stay in the box for the correct amount of time, right? Like, there's like a 6-hour gap or something, or I can't remember what it is, but like you have to be in here for not too long, not too short.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, because what can you really do when you're, like, you have time travel to a certain degree. I mean, you have time travel in the sense that, like, you can sort of continue, like, redoing small bits of time. But, I don't know, it's a strange concept, right? Like, the stock market, sure, whatever, but it doesn't, yeah, I don't know. If anything, it just kind of ruins their lives a little bit. They stop someone from shooting someone. But, yeah. I don't know. Obviously, it's a film more about, like, the physics of time travel more than any sort of, like, narrative.
Yeah, well, I still prefer this, like, style of... See, you know, we've talked about this before, like there's always certain, you know, the whole point of film is that it doesn't have to make perfect sense, but you know, it's a piece of artwork and it's, you know, you have the freedom to make it not make sense. Like that is, you know, part of the greatness of film. Just like a song doesn't have to be anything like speech, or it doesn't have to convey a solid meaning, like, or like just music itself without words, like... It, you know, it doesn't really have, like, you can't, like, fully interpret music a lot of the time, or, like, a melody. It's more of a feeling. And so with films, like, with time travel films, there's always a paradox no matter what, because that's just the nature of time travel. I prefer this style of approaching the paradoxes that arise compared to other, like, Terminator. You know, we joked about like the big explanation at the ending, and just like, this is why the film makes sense because this, like, that's just dumb. Tenet is similar to this in that they just kind of make it so complex that it's hard to pinpoint where the paradox is, or like where the I guess like logical flaws are in the plot. Like people have pointed them out in Tenet, but even pointing them out it's not a simple task. And I'm sure that you could point out some for Primer. You could be like, well, this doesn't, like you were before, like, oh, this doesn't make sense. Like he'd be trapped in a loop, or problems with like, multiverse sort of stuff.
I don't necessarily think, being trapped in a loop is a problem. I think it's more interesting that the character decides that he's going to be, continue to like do the loop rather than like the other guy who goes off and builds, I don't know, a factory sized time travel box. You know what I mean? Like, that's so interesting.
Like, you know, like the whole stock market thing. You know, it's like you go back once and do that once, and then you've made money. Then you go back again. Do you have the money that you had from the first one? Because you've duplicated yourself and gone back to not having money. I guess you do it once, and then you wait long enough, and then you go back not all the way. So, like, you go back to the guy that already had the money from the first one, but not back before you did the first one. So...
I guess you could also do something like open up a second account that, like, your money goes into or something. I don't know. So, like, the person in the other time never recognizes that they're losing and gaining money in like crazy amounts. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I think also like
I don't believe really in this type of time travel, because I don't think you could just duplicate the universe like just because you time traveled. Do you know what I mean? Like you suddenly open up a parallel universe. Like, I don't really believe in that.
Yeah, but what instead of a parallel universe, wouldn't it just be your like matter, like physical matter that is trapped in some...
I'm taking it too far. They're just duplicating themselves in the same universe. So yeah. They're just duplicating their physical selves. And that's...
Yeah. So, I mean, it's still pretty wild, but I think it's a lot more feasible, I guess.
Yeah, what is the plan? Do they don't talk about killing the duplicates. Like, because you couldn't continue living your life, like...
Well, I think that they sort of become the duplicates a bit. I think from like a sort of like a flipped coin sort of thing. Like you come out the other side. Are you the duplicate or the person you were before? Because one of them is constantly going to have to be getting inside the box and coming out, right? Whereas the other one keeps sort of like just living their life. Does that make sense?
I don't know. Yeah, like, but like if you know, if it's the same universe but two of the same physical person, like one, like they can't both just go back to their wife and be like, hey, there's two now. Like one's got to start a new life, like. And then if there's a third one, then two of them have to start new lives. But like they don't even have an identity. Like they've got to avoid being seen in public with the original and
the other person. Yeah. Well, I guess you just assume that, I don't know, the people that do see you think it's deja vu or something.
You'd literally have to just like go and visit yourself and be like, hey, man, this is what I've done. I need to go. Like, I'm going to go just take out the money from my stock portfolio now and then I'll leave you alone.
yeah, you'd have to. I guess like the interesting thing about this film, and I guess if you wanted to put it against like a Nolan film, it would probably be Memento. It was like Memento does like time subjective, whereas this sort of does time objective.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Like one does like the time of psychology and one does the time of physics. Cosmological time, I guess.
Yeah.
Which is fascinating, like a fascinating comparison to have as well, because like obviously like subjective time is sort of like movies a little bit, like it's and montages, it's just random like little bits all over the place, whereas like the time of matter, totally different. It's just interesting in their like the way they've been presented, the differences there as well.
Yeah,
because like, this film is quite stark as well, right? There's not too much to it. It's just like sort of hard science and people sort of living in suburbia.
Yeah, I like that. I like the kind of dreary, you know,
thank you.
Sepia kind of vibes, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. It's
greeny, right. Sepia kind of film grain tones. Paints the picture nicely.
Half of it, like you said, yeah, like I can totally understand. They sort of have like, you know, money troubles and they live on the edge of a metropolitan city. There's a lot of desert and stuff around where they live, so who knows, like it's a lot of factory areas. Maybe they're just fucking like sick of their lives and they just need a little extra money.
Yeah,
I guess its real achievement is it's like filmic style. Like even the machine, when I looked at it with its sort of like two, I don't know, like pulsating things standing up with like a little bit of material in the middle, I was like, what the fuck is that? Like I guess that's exactly what it would look like if someone did make something like that. Like,
yeah, I liked how they kind of walked into it with it, like, because they were making it seem like they created some sort of like anti-gravity machine and like they had some super precise scales and the weight goes down of the egg thing that they had in there or whatever. And then to me, it was kind of like, okay, we've invented, like, I think they were trying to make like some sort of, you know, eternal motion machine or something like that. And then weird stuff sort of like they'd already kind of defied physics, like he unplugs a thing and he's like, look what happens, it just keeps going on its own. And so he's saying like, yeah, so like we have like kind of already broken physics somehow here, but we don't really know what it does, and it's like changing the weight of this thing. And then they kind of just like build on that, and then like all of a sudden, you know, they're already halfway there, and then they're just like, yeah, oh, it actually is like time traveling kind of, because it's just defying physics in general.
So is it like time dilation, like how, or is it pure like matter transportation? You know what I mean? Like, is it that when they're in the box, the time slows to such an unrecognizably slow speed that everything else just moves really quick around them? So it looks
because they're going
technically
back.
Time travel.
They're going backwards.
Like, they're going back. Okay, yeah.
It's not like that type. That's the only.
Oh yeah, right.
That's
yeah.
the only feasible type of time travel. Like, to me, is just the time dilation type, which isn't really time travel. It's just like based on time being actually subjective. So, well, not subjective, but like relative.
Relative. So yeah. Like, if, well, it's also based on mass, right?
Mass and velocity, or gravity and velocity. Like, well, if you travel. Basically, the closer you approach the speed of light, the slower time goes for your experience. So if you just went if you just went 5 minutes like up towards space at the speed of light, and then 5 minutes back to get back, so ignoring like the problem, like it takes ages to accelerate and decelerate to that speed without like killing human. Like, I think it takes like years or something. I think I could be wrong there, but it takes a long time to accelerate. Like at a, you know, say like
to the speed of light,
say like 2 G's or 3 G's, because like more than that, and you know, you'd get sick if it was taking like a week to do it. But say you could do it. Okay, say it's more like you could just go like for a day and a day. I think like probably like 1,000 years would have passed or something. That's the cool way to think about it, because it's just like 2 days. You're not going to be dead in 2 days, probably. But like, you know, the whole world could completely change. Like, yeah. If you could just do that.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you'd come back to a totally unrecognizable planet. Hopefully for the best, but maybe for the worst. Who knows?
I'm Googling time to accelerate to the speed of light.
Well, how fast is the speed of light? It's mad fast, right?
Like, yeah, it's not really like... It's just like a number. It's not really like an imaginable number.
I don't know, even then, because, like, doesn't...
Okay, so, if you accelerate at, like... 1G, which is just the like gravity would feel normal, right? So say if you were just going up and it would just feel like you're standing on the ground, 1G, it would take about a year
to reach the speed of light.
Yeah,
that's fucking ages.
Yeah, I mean, you could take half a year at 2G, but that would be very uncomfortable. So yeah, I think it would only be healthy to do like 1.2G or something.
But I guess like the interesting thing about this film, right? I guess if we bring it back down to the film rather than like
I guess that's light just speed. Yeah. That's just like talking about like realistic versions of time travel. It's not real. It wouldn't be. It's not time travel. Yeah. It's just yeah. But go on.
Yeah, it's just mad fast, really. relative to everyone on Earth, I guess. It's interesting that like the trouble with time travel is that like you're never satisfied. This is like a human condition, right? It's a human problem. Like, you can keep going back, oh, that could have been better, I could have done that better, I could learn what everyone else is going to do, but then what happens if, like... So it's like chaos theory, right? Like, trying to predict the weather. Like, you can get kind of close, you might have an idea of what people might do, but to, like, every time you do it, is it going to be the same, or is there going to be an element that's totally different? It's interesting concept, because, like, that's sort of what they want to do a little bit. They want to kind of perfect things here and there. Like, obviously, they want to perfect the stock market. There probably isn't going to be that much differential movement in the stock market, but who knows. But, like, something like the party scene, certainly a thing. Like, it's interesting that, like, the concept of time around people rather than, like, the physical time, or the cosmological time or whatever, how people react to time and what it means to them.
They could have fleshed out the party scene a bit more, I guess, just to make it a bit like, because it was kind of a fairly central part of the plot. It was sort of paralleled with the whole problem of like what they're trying to solve. But they could have brought that, you know, to the forefront a bit more, because they had two problems. Like, they were trying to solve, like, I guess the problem of not trusting each other and needing a failsafe, but also the problem of like trying to not have like the person go to jail or someone gets shot or something at the party, I guess.
I think it's one of the guy's girlfriends or something who is in danger. I'm not sure if she does end up getting, like, obviously they fix it and she doesn't get shot or whatever, but I think it's one of them who gets is embroiled in the situation.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's interesting that, like, they don't trust each other. That's the most fascinating part, because, like, that's the biggest problem, right? When you're dealing with, like, two or even three of the same of you. Like, who the fuck, like, you can't trust them. There's no way to, like, obviously, like, I guess there's, like, a few ways of understanding. Like, for instance, you know, write your name or some shit, and if it comes out as just squiggles, it's probably the person. But, like, that's the whole thing, right? Maybe this is where it sort of dips into, like, the memento side of things, which is, like, the nature of, like, psychological time. Like, what sort of effect does linear time have on relationships?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, parallel to something like infinite loop time, where, like, although it's the same person every time, your relationship to them, it doesn't continue relatively linearly. Mm. You know what I mean? And that's an interesting concept, like what part time does play, or like temporality does play in, like, human lives.
It's actually quite funny. Like, I like the point you raised, because it sparked my thinking a lot. Because in relation to, well, because I was saying to you, daylight saving began today. So I have time traveled 1 hour into the future, but, I was thinking this morning, it's just like, it's like, you know, it's 1 hour forward. So, like, basically it's, you know, it's an hour lighter, so to speak, at the end of the day, an hour darker in the morning. So, you know, I got up at 8 today, which my body thought was 7. And I was like, oh, I guess I was like, well, it was fairly light, but I first woke up at like 5-ish or something, and I actually did get up at quarter past five yesterday, and it was light enough to, like, go for a jog with Eva. But this morning it was like around 5 or so, and I was thinking, like, ah, shit, like, I definitely can't get up for another hour. But anyway, the main thing I'm trying to say is,
is that why?
So I've confused myself now.
You're ahead.
You're ahead. So. Yeah, it would have been 4 to my body. It was an hour darker at 5.
Mm.
What I was going to say is that, like, it's so much easier to go through, like, the adjustment of daylight savings because everyone is doing it. Like, everyone in the UK, like, it's like a cultural thing. So you're not worried, like. Like, if I told you, okay, you've got to get up an hour early tomorrow than normal, you might be like, oh, fuck, like, I'm actually really tired today. But because everyone is doing it, it's just like everyone's walking their dog an hour later than they normally would be. And so what I'm kind of linking that to is, like, Dark City, where they sort of, like, manipulate time, you know, they freeze time and then, like, make all the adjustments and stuff. If there's, like, some sort of, like, central authority of time, then you can actually bend it around people a lot before anyone sort of kicks up a fuss. that's just the point that I'm trying to make.
Yeah.
If it's the same for everyone, then it's like, you know, it's like a kind of evil 1984 style manipulation where you can just be like, it's actually 2 o'clock, it's not 12 o'clock, like, just trust me. And people would just be like, oh, okay, like, yeah, like, whatever you say, boss. And, like, I wonder how far you could take that. You'd just be like, oh, it's actually dark during the day now and light during the night. And if it was just spread and brainwashed strongly enough, maybe you could actually get people to just go along with it and just be like, oh, we just live in the dark now and sleep in the day. If that was the cultural norm, might just accept it. Sorry, go on.
Yeah, I mean, look, I think, like, if there was, like, a cult logic, you'd have to push it slowly. So like, I think it's entirely possible that people could, like, you know, the day is night and night is day or whatever. But I think
it's like Dark City.
I think it would have to take, it would take ages.
Like, in Dark City, is like, when, you know, like, when do you remember doing something in the day?
Yeah.
And he has to, like, kind of, like, you know, like, challenge his, you know, his ingrained belief, like, about, like, oh, it's just always nighttime. Like, what? It's just slummy New York permanently.
Yeah. Which, like, I guess, you know, is counter to the sort of, like, the city that never sleeps sort of thing. But, or maybe it works for the... But, yeah, I think, like, this has been happening forever. Like, there's a reason why, you know, churches are in the middle of towns with bells. So, like, they ring it and everyone around the area is like, oh, it's lunchtime. You know what I mean? Like, there is, like, a socially instated time as well. Because I say it
is.
Now, and then it turned into, like, factories. Yeah, well, I guess, like... There is some in the shops, right? Like, factories is the same thing. Like, the boss or whatever will do it. But, I mean, I guess taking it to its, like, furthest reaches of time, there's, like, this concept called, like, the manufactured normalcy field, right? And it's, like, things that people do that aren't necessarily normal at all, but, like, you somehow, like, this thing has been produced
but
in which
normalized.
You feel normal. So the example used in the article, is, like, everyone on a plane has never felt what it's like to fly through the air at 500 kilometers an hour, and yet people do it so often. Like, you don't know what the tensile strength of steel or whatever the wings are made out of. You don't know any of these things, and yet, like, you experience this thing as extremely normal. And it's the same with time, a regimented sense of time, right? So, like, for instance, let's take the continent, subcontinent of Asia, or China. That is one time zone. The entire nation of China is one time zone. So people that live on the easternmost side, you know, will wake up at 7 in the morning, the same as the westernmost side.
Is China like 1,000 kilometers across or something?
Yeah, there would be hours of difference between those two things.
Let's see, width of China. Oh no, it's like 5,000, which I think is wider. I think Australia is more like 4,000, and you know how different it is, like on the east and west coast, like, you know, as in, well, we have what, 3 hours difference, right? Which
That's
is
right,
like a proper, you know, it roughly is that based on where the sun is.
Yeah, but, like, that's sort of what I'm talking about, like, in your sort of brainwashing argument, the manufactured normalcy field is China, you know what I mean? Like, they've just been like, no, this is normal. Like,
so
if
say
you're Chinese...
Say it's like... Well, say they've made it roughly normal for the middle. That's still going to mean that, like, it's an hour and a half kind of wrong for, like, the extremes at either side. But say it's normal for the east, then it's 3 hours wrong for the west. Like, it's going to be like... It's fucking dark till 9 a.m. and then it's light till like 9 p.m. This is retarded.
Yeah. It's ridiculous. It's supposed to be about, I think, like, national sentiment. Like, it's all just like one China, really.
Yeah.
But it, in that sense, like, and maybe this is stretching the concept a little bit, but that's sort of time travel a little bit. Or, like, maybe it's the stopping of time travel. What would you call that? I don't know what you'd call the, like,
I mean, I
the
get
pausing it, of time.
Yeah, it's a type of time travel, like, you know, they're based on the fact that there is no real time travel.
Yeah,
like, but, like, I get, you know, what the whole thing we're talking about is kind of the time is physically malleable, well, because it is subjective, like, because it links to, like, consciousness and sentience, like, it's something, you know, we don't have a proper measurement of it in our brains. I mean, we have, like, you know, you can measure it very accurately with, like, decay of like radioactive decay, something we use to, like, really accurately measure time, apparently. But we still don't know if things like that are constant, and people have posed theories that, like, time actually, like, 1 second now isn't the same as 1 second like 1,000 years ago or something, like, trying to link that to, like, the expansion of the universe and things like that. So, yeah, it is.
Yeah.
It definitely is like a, you know, even if you can't just go back to yesterday in an actual machine, if you're playing 3 hours of video games or reading a book for 3 hours, your experience of the 3 hours is going to be, like, quite different, probably. Well, I mean, you could have an encapsulating,
like,
book. You could do something more boring than reading a book. You could be standing in a line for 3 hours, or you could be playing, like, a fun game.
Yeah, watching paint dry, right? That's the the most boring thing, apparently. I guess, psychological time dilation there. Like, and I guess that's why it's important to have sort of two, they're not competing theories, but two theories that can kind of interweave. And so you can measure external matter and cosmic time versus something like subjective. I've read this book.
No, but what I'm saying is, like, there's not that much difference between that form of time travel and the form of, like, going up in the spaceship at the speed of light, because they're both related to, like, you've experienced, like, well, I mean, physically, maybe your body, you know, obviously your body just experiences how much time you could calculate it experienced. Yeah. Like, 1 hour is 1 hour because the clock that you take with you is going for 1 hour and 1 hour on the way back. And the same as, like, if you're sitting playing a game for 1 hour, obviously that's the same, but that, you know, you are, yeah, you are really time traveling in, you're time traveling relative to the thing that you're coming back to. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I totally agree with that. Like, I think that's the case for most things, right? Like, it's always like traveling through time. It's just relative to other things.
Yeah.
That's sort of how you measure the difference, I guess. But but I think what's even... I was wondering when I was watching the film, I was considering, I don't know why this pops into my head, but it occasionally does. There's like an St. Augustine's concept of time, which is sort of similar to like Walt Benjamin's, which is like, we can't really look at time as a straight line with like the past behind us and the future in front of us and us in like the middle point, the present or whatever. It's sort of constantly being remade all the time based on the two colliding factors of past and present, you know what I mean? At least subjectively. So in that sense, you can sort of look at the film in that same way as well. Like you see these two characters really stuck in this present in which the past and the future are constantly colliding with each other. Which is quite fascinating, because like then you sort of get this atemporality, but it's not, because they're the most aware of time. It works on lots of levels, but it's fascinating when you sort of, because I think it's very interesting to measure time linearly, but it's also kind of boring if you're just like, this is the only time, this is the time we should respect, and all the other time, who gives a shit?
Yeah, this is the sacred time.
Yeah, yeah. Like it's good to measure, and it's good to, but even then, like, you know, you have like historians have like the history and then like the prehistoric period, and even if you wanted to look at it in like, I don't know, biblical time or something, you have like before, like you have the before and after the creation, right? Or even like atemporal beings existing around them. The Big Bang was their time before that. Like, is time a worthwhile pursuit if like it only like applies to this one thing, you know? Yeah, oh, and scientifically, like, obviously it does. I think they're both worthwhile pursuits, but it's sort of good to bring those things into question as well, because like, surely a lot of time measurement has to do with the fact that we know we're going to die.
We're given
a certain amount of time, and so we have to figure out how to do these all these other things based on time.
Otherwise, we just wouldn't care. Yeah.
Yeah.
An interesting thought
experiment. And that's also supposing a whole bunch of other variables.
Yeah. An interesting thought experiment would be like, if the whole Earth got duplicated, say it got duplicated yesterday, and like we discover it, just, you know, we like a telescope, it's not that far away. It's like, it's, you know, say it's not fucking up gravity or anything. It's just like, but it's within spaceship reach. And we discover it, and it's only been duplicated yesterday. How do we, and say, and then we have to go on living with like Earth 2, like to them, we're Earth 2. Like say they it duplicated, and then like we realize it was actually like no one was like on the original position. I mean, it's space, so it'd be hard to tell anyway. It'd be interesting to see how we treat each other. Like, would China pair up with China on Earth 2, or like, you know, the geopolitical relations would be so odd, because it's just like, would everyone just faction with their country in the same way, or would we unite and be like, fuck Earth 2, like it's us against them? And like, it'd be interesting to see the difference of that treatment compared, like, if instead the duplication happened 50 years ago and we only discover them now in the same way. You know, it'd be interesting to see the spectrum of relations based on when the duplication happened and how long until the discovery was made. So it's like, obviously, if it was yesterday, then we might just kind of, I don't know, figure something out. Like probably rogue nations would pair up with each other, pair up with their equals, like North Korea with North Korea, because it's just like there's going to be like two Kim Jongs and they're just going to accept it.
Yeah.
But like if it was maybe 50 not, years ago,
maybe that'd just be like,
yeah, like 50 years ago, it might be like, fuck you. Like, I don't know.
Oh, it's entirely possible. Like, it's entirely possible that, like, things that happened won't happen the exact same way if there was a duplication. But
if it was 100 years ago, do you think we would just be like, let's just fuck them up and take their resources? Like,
that really depends. Like, it depends what, like, who knows, they might be thinking the exact same thing.
Yeah, but we got the technology. Like, if we're in the future, like, say we're 100 years in the future from the duplicate.
Oh, okay. Interesting. Yeah, I mean, I'd hope that, like, that would be a moment where we could recognize how terrible, like, corporate greed and, like, ecological destruction are, have been to the world, and just be like, okay, we're going to look after this one. This one's going to be nice and safe. But I think that, like, people are going to be like, okay, let's just keep this secret. No one needs to know that there's, like, people living on there or anything.
It'd be like Elysium,
Yeah. And we'll just go over and we'll take all their shit and then we'll just come back.
They would ship the poor off that fucked one to our one. I mean, off the old one, the not, like, less fucked environmentally one. They would ship them here. And then the rich would go to the older one and like make a utopian or a supposed utopian sanctuary and it would just go to shit.
Yeah. I guess like that's an interesting concept because I was actually thinking that it was going to be more like British imperialism where they send like our Earth sends all the people that they don't to want the over one. There, like a prison, like a prison colony.
Like, yeah, they're like build it good, like sort it out, you'll figure it out.
Yeah, it could be like sort of a Walden thing where everyone has to learn how to put like make their own like wood hut and stuff like that. But yeah, no, it's interesting because I guess like if it was a duplicate, would they be thinking the exact same thing that we were thinking 100 years ago for everyone that was there? Is that how it works?
Well, I think it's like a butterfly effect sort of scenario. So.
I mean, I feel like we should watch that film next. Just keep this parallel time stuff running. I read an interesting article about that recently, actually. It reminded me that I really enjoyed it. It kind of fucked me up. I think I watched it too young.
Primer.
No, Butterfly Effect.
Oh,
I don't know if you've ever seen that.
Yeah, I've seen it a bunch of times. Pretty young. Yeah.
Decent. I think a bit too violent. It might not like be the same now watching it, but when I was younger, like when
I
they
thought it was quite violent, like,
in the fire,
they blow up
the letterbox and shit.
Terrible.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. Some really really terrible stuff there. But the most interesting thing about that, I guess, is that like the only way for the timelines to ever be like good, I guess, or like without like as much suffering as possible, is like the main character has to sacrifice himself.
Yeah,
right? Doesn't he like choke himself in the womb?
Yeah, like, the problem with Butterfly Effect is because it's like a director's cut and a non-director's cut, and they're completely different. I think one of them he does the womb thing, and the other he doesn't, or something. So I can't never remember like which is like
that's kind of cool.
The correct one.
That's a Butterfly Effect on its own. Those are two different films then, just premised on the same Butterfly. It's the first initial Butterfly Effect.
Yeah, I used to like the film, but I think I watched it again like a few years ago. And I was like, ugh. Don't like it.
I reckon we should do it next just to try it out.
No,
give it a go.
I don't want to watch the dog burning. I don't want to do it.
Yeah, that's fucked. That's an absolutely terrible scene.
I'm sick of time anyway. What do you have any? Do you have any others?
Time films?
No, non-time or any suggestions that maybe don't involve time.
We could always check out the OG
version of THX.
Yeah.
But I think it's short.
I mean, we could also do Terminator number two. The better Terminator.
Fine. I'll do that. Better be good, though.
Yeah, this has been a funny week because
That does involve time travel, seminar. You bastard.
Yeah. But just a little bit of time travel. It's more apocalypse. It's more the end of time.
It's more of a, because it's a fucking action film.
It's pretty good. Like, I can't, like, it's pretty shocking that they got to make a second one, but they really, really made up for it in that second one.
It's the better film, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And the ones after it are pretty sick as well. They're all kind of terrible except for that second
one. Three's bad, man. Yeah, it's two's good, three's bad. I mean, I'm sure we'll probably end up watching it at some point.
Oh, you got to. I did that In Time seminar.
Monday
that just passed as well.
Reading thing.
Yeah, and that was good. That was funny. That was a little like the position I took was just like through like biotechnology, like genetic engineering and stuff. People can, you know, be placed in various like time sensitive areas. Like obviously they only had like a day to live every day, so they had to continue to work. So it was the relation between time and work, and also like sort of accumulation of time. I don't know. It was kind of convoluted. I put it together pretty quickly, but I thought it went all right.
I only skimmed it. I saw it was on the thing. I was like, oh, I'm just gonna have a look. And I was like, yeah, I'm glad I'm not part of this.
People enjoyed themselves. It was a good time.
Yeah, no,
it's the guy who makes those films. He made Gattaca as well.
Oh, Gattaca's decent. I like Gattaca.
It's the same film pretty much, except instead of
better acting, I guess.
Genetic alteration, it's time. But I mean, I watched Gattaca recently as well, and I don't really know how it became so popular. It's interesting. It's quite nicely filmed, but I don't get it.
It's not. Who it's knows? Not amazing, but it's okay.
So tell me some. What else would you like to talk about in terms of Primer?
I would love to remember the name of that dinner party film, because it's kind of I mean, it's important, but whatever. I can't remember it. I watched it in a slew of other films. Any ideas?
Yeah, it's called Coherence.
Yeah, that's it. Okay.
Yeah, am I right?
I'm pretty sure, yeah.
I knew it was something. I was thinking like, oh, it's Co something. But I Googled it. I just Googled House Party Time Travel.
Yeah, nice. I was actually typing that in as you said it.
We can watch that, I think.
No. I thought we already did. Nah, I've watched it a lot of times. I watched it twice. I liked it so much. I watched it back to back. Like I watched it and then I think I watched it again that night or something. Like I was like, damn. Just because of the whole...
Jeez.
I just like the small budget films where they do something interesting. It's got 88% of Rotten Tomatoes, so it's doing all right. I just Googled films like Coherence. Plus One, have you heard of that?
No, I haven't.
I guess something that I would put in the category. So I put if you were making a like a Spotify playlist that had Primer and Coherence in it, I think I would add like something like Paranormal Activity into that bag. Do you think that fits the mold? Because it's like the same low budget kind of thing, low budget sort of sci-fi.
Doesn't it? No, no way.
No.
That's true. It's horror, right? It's a sci-fi.
It is horror.
That doesn't really go into the science fiction.
I guess not so much about it being sci-fi, more about it being like low budget and like or based like in like a small area.
Supernatural, maybe? I don't know.
Yeah.
Low budget.
I guess the category is low budget films.
The best one is
La Jetée.
That is.
What's it called?
Have you seen that film?
How do you spell it?
La Jetée. It's like L.A. It's like the jetty, but in French.
J or G?
L.A. and then space. J-E-T-E, I think.
La Jetée. 1962.
J, I think. Yeah.
All right.
It's the film that 12 Monkeys
is inspired by.
Was
based on.
It's like 15 minutes long, maybe even shorter.
28.
We had to do it for a film class once. It's pretty sick.
Mate, it's in the Criterion collection. Must be good.
I think it comes in a... Oh, yeah. It comes in a bundle with Sans Soleil as well. So you want to get around both of those things, I guess.
Need the whole Criterion collection, I guess.
There's a film I really, really like called 2046 by Wong Kar-wai, and that's a time travel film as well. But it's I don't know, you might not like your romance melodramas. Very beautiful.
Oh, I can get around it. That looks cool.
Yeah, to me, I loved it. Hey.
But yeah, I don't have much more to say on Primer. I think I really like it. It ranks highly in the list of things we covered to me. I put it somewhere around the upper middle, I would say. It's hard to compete and it's hard to measure against. Like, if this had a big budget, maybe it could have been like a blockbuster. If they didn't ruin it, kind of thing.
I think it had to be this way. Like, I think that this is the most true. And we can, I guess that's only speculation, sure, but I think this is the best way that it could have been done.
Yeah,
I think it necessarily needs to be sort of like an independent film.
Yeah, you couldn't have picked it up. Like, reading through this list, I mean, Jarhead, yes, preferred it to that. Manchurian Candidate, Tenet, 1984, The Fly, Videodrome. I kind of prefer it to most of these. They Live, no. They Live would win that for me. Stalker, Solaris.
The Fly was sick.
Stalker, Solaris, Brazil would all be above it for me. Pi, Idiocracy
would be above it.
Sorry.
Pi is pretty good. Pi and this and Primer could be a nice double feature if you had to like have like a movie night or something. I think that'd be good.
What was the third film you meant? Because you said this and Primer. Did you mean this and Coherence?
I meant Pi and Primer would go...
I thought you meant a third one as well. Yeah, that would be a good... Yeah, that's a cool matchup.
Yeah. Just as like an anxiety attack sort of film fest. fuck, I forgot what it was. I had another film that I thought would be a good time travel one. But, Go back onto the list.
That we've done.
Oh, fuck. This is killing me.
List of whatever,
just keep going. No, we haven't done it, but it was a good idea. But just continue, don't worry. Forget about it. It'll come back to me.
All right. Well, I'm just taking a look at this Guardian review of Primer, seeing if they have anything to add for us. But
what about Looper? Because sort of a classic... time travel film.
Yeah, it's pretty good. I haven't seen it in ages. I could definitely watch that at some point. It's not Nolan, is it?
Nah,
it's very Nolan-esque. Nah. I guess I'm thinking of Inception.
Yeah, we could always do Interstellar as well. That's some time for you. Space and time.
I really don't like Interstellar. I'm not a fan.
Yeah.
Are you a fan?
Yeah, I like it. I think it's a pretty amazing film to watch. I don't know. It's more of like an ecological crises film. I think that Nolan's trying to become an environmental activist.
So Hollywood.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I don't like Matthew McConaughey. I don't like him as an actor, but I got around it a little bit this time. I think the scenes where like it's like the wave planet and the waves are crashing really slowly. I really like that. I don't know. That was cool.
I've argued with so many people about it because it came out around the same time as Gravity. And I really liked Gravity because I had awesome sound effects and like detail. Whereas Interstellar is just like, time travel, spaceships, and like Hans Zimmer, organ solo. I was like, shut the fuck up.
To be fair. Hans Zimmer has cool organ solos. Yeah, Blade Runner 2049. Pretty cool.
Yeah, the score of Interstellar is really good, but it was just everything just lays it on too thick in that typical Hollywood way. It's just like, it reminds me of that scene in The Simpsons where like Homer goes to hell and they're like, so you like donuts, eh? And just like he eats like all the donuts in hell. And Hollywood's like, so you like special effects, eh? you like lots of bass rumble. That film, because I saw that, I saw Interstellar in the IMAX thing, and they have like the massive subwoofers, and I was at the back, and like they're behind my head. The whole film just has a rumble, basically, like the fucking whole way through. It's just like, whoosh, like to make tension, and it kinda fucking cool, drove me nuts.
You never know, bro. Space might be all bass rumbles.
Exactly why, yeah, it annoyed me. Yeah,
I think another one, and I feel free to argue with me if you think this, but I think if we put Tarkovsky and we put time together, we have Annihilation. That is, I reckon that's Stalker and sort of a time film put together.
Annihilation is all right. Stalker's a bit of a time. To me, it's just, it's a bad version. I mean, it's an okay version of Stalker. That's what it's based on.
It is very Stalker, yeah. But no, they base it fully
on Stalker. I think they admit that. Like it is like basically a remake of Stalker.
Oh, I didn't know that. That makes more sense.
Yeah.
I just thought like, oh, that's a great, like that's an original thought I must have had. Like maybe someone told me that actually, and I just assumed about, that it was my thought.
Yeah, it's all based around the zone. But then Stalker is based on that Roadside Picnic book or whatever. Yeah. So.
Yeah. We're all standing on the shoulders of giants.
Well, I guess in Annihilation's case, they've just copied another film, whereas at least Stalker like turned a book into a film, sort of. Stalker was a book, adaptation. I think, wasn't it? Probably. Maybe not. Be hard to make as a book.
I think it was Roadside Picnic or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, there was a video game called Stalker. I know that.
Based on the movie?
But yeah, I wouldn't just Annihilation, but...
You what?
I don't know. It's the same, I think. Yeah, but we could always. I think it is the same as the movie. We could always do Annihilation if you're interested. Even if you just hate it, you still give it a try.
We'll look at it. We'll look into it. I'll put it off for a while.
Okay.
I see. Okay, so apparently I'm wrong.
Okay, that's all right.
It's based on, Annihilation is based on a book about from what? 2014 by Jeff Vandermeer. It doesn't.
Maybe he stole it from Stalker.
Yeah, but it doesn't mention that anywhere.
Yeah, I guess if you steal something, you probably don't want to mention it.
Yeah. Okay.
Just saying.
Though based on the original novel by Vandermeer, for some critics, the film betrays obvious similarities with the science fiction novel Roadside Picnic and its 1979 movie adaptation, Stalker. Stronger resemblance with the night. Okay, so everyone's just calling out everyone, being like, you copied him. 1927 short story, The Color Out of Space by H.P. Lovecraft.
I've read that.
Would that be a good film?
That's interesting.
It's about a meteorite that lands in a swamp and unleashes a mutagenic plague. Okay, so you're totally right. Everyone just copies everyone. There's no rules and it's fine.
Yeah. Well, I think that's the case for just everything in general anyways. Like, I don't think that, like, the rule, like, in medieval and early modern literature, the thing, like, imitatio, the skill of writing wasn't to do with, like, coming up with a creative new story. It was taking, like, a set of already like made characters and trying to weave an interesting thing around them.
Yeah.
So that's the sum of the deal with a lot of art.
Yeah, man. There's actually quite a few film adaptations. Well, there's a few versions. I'm checking all the versions now because there's an Italian one from 2008. Oh, sorry. Set
the 2019 one.
Color from the Dark is 2008. Low budget? I'm liking it. It looks fucking scary, though. 2 out of 5 stars on Rotten Tomatoes. The Curse, 1987.
The 2019 one looked particularly interesting to me because it was vibrant.
Yeah. We can end the pod and then... discuss.
true. Okay, all right. Have you got anything more to say about Primer?
It was great. Definitely, you know, it's a movie I'd recommend to a lot of people. it would definitely be in the top 10 from everything we've covered, and we have cherry picked as it is, I think. So, you know, like a lot of the, like we've watched a lot of our favorite sci-fi movies for the pod, and Prime is one of them, I would say. It stands on its own nicely. What would you say? Closing remarks?
I agree. I reckon it'd be really up there. I think it's an amazing film. I'd never seen it before, and I didn't really know what to expect going in. But I would watch it again. I would recommend it to people. I think it's an amazing rendition of this sort of like complexity of time.
I'm glad you got to have that first experience of, like, because yeah, I thought you might have seen it when I suggested it, and you were kind of like, "What the fuck's this?" And like, so you got to have, because that's how I felt when I first saw it. I was kind of like, don't know, this might be all right, and then it kind of takes you a bit by surprise.
Yeah, I mean, it had the sort of trimmings, right? Like the Sundance stamp and all that sort of stuff.
That's so true. Yeah. So it has a good pace as well.
I was working with something. Yeah, I think that the other thing, and the thing that probably impressed me the most, was quite amazing. The storyboarding must have been very complex to put together, because there's like three different stories sort of going on at the same time, and it would have been hard to keep that together, you know what I mean? It must have taken a while to like conceptualize it.